Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here. I'm going to hand over to George for the intimations.
Good morning. It's not a bad morning this morning. It's certainly a wee bit, not as good as yesterday, but anyway, good morning. Yes, I'm up here to read the intimations. Just before I start reading what's on the screen, I've got two additional ones, I think. We have the Queen Anne Singers performing on Monday night at the St. Leonard's Parish Church in Fermoy in aid of Christian Aid. And it starts at 7 p.m. and the donation on the way in.
Secondly,
sorry, Alison, I need something.
Home baking.
There we go. Home baking. Good for the diet. Come along. Second intimation that's not on the screen. Am I not in?
That's on. On. Green light's on.
Am I very quiet?
That's because you keep wandering around, George.
I just keep wandering. I'll stand here in front of it then. Can you all hear me now?
Anybody got a... You know, just...
I'll stop wandering around then. Okay. This intimation is from the Gala Committee. I've been asked to cordially invite you all, if you're over 65, to afternoon tea on Thursday the 8th of June here in the church at 1:30. Okie doke. Now I'll start reading the intimations on the screen. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Haha. Stated annual meeting. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will take place today after worship. You must stay in here. Sorry. Sorry. Slip of the tongue there. Please stay to hear what the office bearers and activity leaders have to say about the past years and future plans. Now, I have to stop now and hand over to Mrs. Downey for a minute.
Thank you. As you can see from the intimations, we're starting our coffee mornings as from next Saturday, and we'd just like to thank everyone who has offered help. We have got all the people that we need for next Saturday, so if we haven't called on you, we will call on you in the future. Okay? It's not that we don't need you. We do need you, but probably for the future, because we've got the allocation of people that need to help for next Saturday. Thank you.
It's me again. I've done the Queen Anne Singers concert. I'll skip to the cycling club now. Never mind. The cycling club C4 will have its next outing on Saturday the 20th of May to Balerno and the Union Canal. You can get more information from Derek on this, and he's on 82190. The walking group. The next church walk takes place on Saturday the 28th of May. It should read Sunday, should it? Right, okay. Sunday the 28th of May around Gatmore Dam. Meet at Kearney Hall Church car park at 2 o'clock. Chocolate wanted. Unwanted chocolate. Aye. For the gala this year, 10th of June, we're reviving the chocolate dip. Please bring donations of unwanted chocolate to the church any Sunday before then. Now, the church newsletter. We are still keen to produce a newsletter for the parish to go out round about gala time. Could you write an article on something about the church life or one of our activity groups? Have you something interesting to say about village life in general? Do you have a poem, a recipe, a pattern, a joke or a cartoon to share? Please send your contributions to Derek at kinnehillchurch.org.uk by the 21st of May. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. These can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. And finally, here's a quick look at the order of service.
At this point, I do have to ask, have you spotted my deliberate mistake? There are only 21 chapters in John's Gospel. And last week we were looking, I think, at Matthew 24. So it should read John 21. The verse numbers are right, but the chapter number is wrong. So that's my mistake. I've one further intimation, and that is to say that we have a funeral, not in church, but at the crematorium on Tuesday lunchtime. That is for May Cameron. That's Bruce and Alison Cameron's, well, Bruce's mum. And that's at the crem on the 16th at 1:15. And please remember the family in your prayers. Let's worship God now by singing the first of our hymns, hymn number 413, The Day of Resurrection. Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, receive from us the gifts that we present before you. Use all that we give in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Derek is going to lead us in our prayers today.
Let us pray. Lord God, we have come together in this place this morning to worship and honour you. You are God, eternal, infinite in power, great beyond our ability to imagine. You are the source of life. You created us and all that we have, all that surrounds us here on earth and in the universe beyond. You are the source of all goodness and love. We are humble in your presence, aware of how insignificant we are compared to you. We marvel that you made us in your image, that part of all of us is a part of you. We marvel that you reach out to us and want the best for us, each one of us, individual and different. We offer up our thanks for the world and all of creation. We offer up our thanks for the gift of life and all the material things that sustain us. We offer up thanks for family and friends and for the church. And we bring you our thanks for the opportunity to serve you and the honour of being your people. And most of all, we bring you thanks for our salvation, won for us by your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who lived among people to show us your will and purpose for us, to show us the way to you, Father God. Jesus, who suffered and died on a cruel cross, and whose resurrection to eternal life we celebrate again this Easter season. We offer our thanks for the gift of grace that we too can have eternal life through faith, through following Jesus. Father, Lord, for all these things and for your presence with us, we give you thanks. Lord God, we know we are undeserving of your love and grace, and we think now of all the ways in which we've failed you. We remember things done and things said that should not have been done or said. We remember things not done and not said that should have been done or said. We know that too often we think only of ourselves and not of those around us, those in need, nor of what we know that disciples of Jesus should think and do. So in a moment of quiet, we confess our sins and seek forgiveness. Father, we rejoice that you promise forgiveness and that we are renewed again. Help us through the power of the Spirit to live better lives as we set our hearts on serving you in all the days to come. Lord, hear our prayer and hear us as we now say together the words Jesus taught the first disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to read the very familiar story of Peter being restored by Jesus. I've often wondered what it was like for Peter in those resurrection days and how much his joy was tinged by his denial. And I think we likely all have a moment in life where we know that we've let down someone we love, be it family or friend, or church, or whatever. And just as Kath reads that story, think about Peter in that moment. I'll now hand over to Kath.
So our reading is from John 21, verses 15 to 25, and it's called Jesus and Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Verily I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus didn't say he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And may God bless the reading of this word. Amen.
Hymn 519. Love divine, all loves excelling.
Down.
friend from school days, and more explicitly from youth fellowship days, is trying to organise a reunion of the St John's Church Youth Fellowship of the early to mid-1970s. He posted a picture on Facebook of a weekend away in 1974. It was in that youth fellowship and in that year that I became a Christian. As I took that step of faith, I had absolutely no idea where God would lead me or what God would call me to be and do. When I speak to people about the Christian faith, I say that I am sometimes more aware of my faith when I'm doing wrong than when I'm doing right. And that seems counterintuitive. Surely it should be when I am right with God that I feel closest to God. I suspect, though, that everyone here understands the effect of conscience. What is good and right is often at its most obvious when seen against what is clearly evil or wrong. And so it is when I'm doing what I shouldn't do, I am most aware of my Christian faith. When people accuse Christians of thinking that they are better than other people, the answer is that Christians are exactly the opposite of that. We are those who are acutely aware of our sin. We are those who say that we need forgiveness. That we are those who are needing help. We need salvation. We don't think we're better than other people. In that passage that we read from John's Gospel, it is often referred to as Jesus' restoration of Peter. It is a painful story to read. Just as much as it was a painful moment for Peter in his relationship with Jesus. For Peter, the joy of resurrection must have been a mixture of what was absolutely wonderful and really awful. There was the joy of meeting the friend he thought was dead and buried, and that joy soured by the knowledge that he had denied that friendship. In the moment of crisis, his courage had failed. In his mind, the false friend. He was the one who had said, "No matter what, I will stand with you. I will go as far as death to be with you." And then he denied his Lord three times. Peter comes across as a man who was passionate and forthright. He's one of those folk who is honestly wrong as much as he is honestly right. The kind of person we quite often describe as what you see is what you get. I think we can probably imagine Peter trying to put on a brave face, trying to be the man he always thought he was, but that act of denial eating away at him at every encounter with Jesus. It doesn't say whether the other disciples were aware of his denial, and that probably doesn't matter. They all ran away too, but he was the one that made it so explicit. Even if they'd known about Peter's fault, they were in no position to accuse. But maybe if you'd just run away, you can put that failure behind you. Peter has a unique problem. He had promised a friend, his best friend, his Lord. It was clearly not okay. The story that we read follows on from the story of the disciples going fishing. And if you read that story, it's almost a complete repeat of the story when Jesus first met the disciples. I suppose going fishing is what would be described as a displacement activity, something to do rather than having to wait, which must have been so frustrating for them. Now the story, as it comes to its end, is Peter jumping out the boat and rushing to meet Jesus. But what was going through his mind at that moment? I wonder if it was yet another reminder of that broken relationship, a reminder of the fact he had been called those few years before and had come to be Jesus' best friend. And here was Jesus calling them again. And he was the failure. So, following breakfast on the beach, possibly with the others dozing off after a hard night at work and then being well fed, Jesus takes Peter aside. As we go through the story, it seems fairly clear that Jesus takes Peter on a short walk. It's a private moment, although they see John following on later. And then the painful conversation. It is there in our English translation, but it's much more obvious in the Greek of the New Testament. It's obvious in Jesus saying, "Do you love me more than anybody else?" Well, in Greek, what Jesus uses is the word for absolute and unconditional love. And Peter replies with the lesser word, the word that means love of a friend. "Do you love me absolutely and even more than everybody else?" "I can love you as much as a friend." And Jesus uses the same word again. And Peter uses the lesser word. And finally, Jesus uses the word that Peter has been using. And Peter confirms that this is the truth. This is painful. It is for Peter's benefit. It is not punishment for failure. Jesus called Peter knowing exactly what his faults were. Jesus loved Peter absolutely, knowing his faults and failings. But Peter needs to know who and what he is. Once he would have claimed going to the ends of the earth for Jesus. And now he says, This is what I can commit to. This is as far as I can go. My love is not as absolute and my faith is not as unwavering as I once would have said. But if you're listening carefully as Kath read, Jesus doesn't just accept Peter's confession. He also affirms him and tells him he's trusted. He gives the disciples into Peter's care. "Feed my sheep, care for my lambs." And then, in conclusion, Jesus lets Peter know that once the thing that he had promised thoughtlessly, he will fulfill. Peter had said he was willing to die for his Lord, and Jesus says, in the fullness of time, you're going to keep that promise. And Peter is brought back to the place where the friendship is resolved because he's been honest, Jesus has been honest. They're back where they should be. But the best bit of this story, for me, is the bit that comes next. And it's the most comforting bit of the lot. Because Peter is not transformed into a saint. Peter is still Peter. He's still the same man who speaks out of turn. Having learned what his future is to be, he sees John and he goes, "What about him?" And I've sometimes wondered if Jesus was suppressing a smile as he said, "Forget about him, you follow me." Peter hasn't changed. He's still the same man. And it is a reminder that God wants all of us. Not the good bits, or the bits that we think are acceptable to God. That's not the limitation. It's all of us. It's the bits that we don't like. It's the bits that we think are certainly not Christian. I mean, undoubtedly, God wants us to be all that we were created to be. Jesus wants us to be true disciples. The Holy Spirit is transforming us. When we fail, even when we fail badly, God does not give up on us. We are still his people. God's call is not withdrawn. God's love is not diminished. We may, like Peter, have to be honest about ourselves, but we are still trusted by God and called by God. It is through discipleship we become perfect. We do not require to be perfect to be a disciple. God's love is God's choice. It is not dependent upon us being lovable. That story of Peter is there not about Peter's failure, but about Jesus' acceptance of everything that Peter is, and hence Jesus' acceptance of all that we are, and his call to us is undiminished, regardless of how we are in any particular moment. We have been entrusted with the gospel, and Jesus doesn't take that away. Even when we fail, Jesus trusts us and calls us again, "Follow me." Amen. Our prayers for other people. Derek.
Let us pray together once again. Lord God, we bring you our prayers for the world. Our news media tell us of the continuing war in Ukraine, where missiles continue to fall, and there is no sign of any easy or quick solution. In Sudan, too, heavy gunfire is still reported, even as new ceasefire talks begin today. We read that 5 days of fighting in Gaza may have been halted, but we know there's no real promise of peace there yet either. Lord, in all the many places in our world where conflict is ongoing, we pray for peace. We pray that those pursuing their ends through violence might see that only through talks and compromise can any lasting settlement be won. And we pray for all the peacemakers. And in the midst of those unresolved conflicts, we pray for the safety and security of the ordinary folk, the children, and of those bringing relief and medical assistance to war zones. Lord, we pray for the people of Britain and of Scotland. We think of the economy, the cost of living crisis, where large numbers of folk are struggling to get by. We think of the strikes across many industries and services, born out of feelings of unfairness and injustice. We think of the gap between rich and poor. We pray that at all levels of government and in industry, decisions will be motivated only by what is for the common good and for the benefit of all. We pray for the church here in our parish, across Scotland and in the wider world. Among all the discussions and deliberations that are taking place in Scotland and which will take place, help us to keep the gospel and the great commission given by Jesus of telling the good news at the centre of everything as we search for the best ways forward. Be with all who will gather for the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland next Saturday. Grant them wisdom and courage in their decision making in the week that follows. And we pray the Assembly will make good decisions and will glorify you. Most of all, Lord, strengthen our resolve, our faith and confidence as your people to be your church and to speak powerfully in your name. Lord, we pray for kids and young people going through their exams and doing applications for further education and even for jobs. And as we begin to hope that summer isn't far away and we can enjoy the great outdoors once again, we pray for those held back through illness or infirmity, and we think of all the carers too. Now, Lord, we ask that you hear our private prayers in a moment of quiet. Dear God, as Jesus asked and invited, we have brought our burdens to you. We pray in the certain hope of your response, in your time and according to your will. We ask everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just before our final hymn, Derek prayed for a whole host of things, and one of the things that we should be praying for this week, and it's given me the opportunity just to mention it, is Christian Aid. Because this is the beginning of Christian Aid Week. Who reads Facebook? Reddit. Right? Anybody notice the minister's posting?
Yes.
I did say that I would wear my peas on earth socks, and you'll notice they've got peas. And the reason for that was I looked at the Christian Aid website and it said, "Give peas a chance," which of course picks up a song, and it was really just to trigger our looking at something that is happening in the world. And in Malawi, where climate conditions have made growing food really difficult, there is a kind of pea that grows really well in those circumstances. And it's one of the things that Christian Aid is doing across the world. And sometimes when we think of all the problems, it's just too much. I mean, Derek's prayer covered a huge range of things. And if he tried to cover everything, we'd have been here until, well, whenever, because there is just so much. But we can help. And if you get the opportunity to support Christian Aid this week, certainly support in prayer. And if you can, please, just put a little bit of money to Christian Aid so that that work can continue. And one other thing to say, just before we sing, is can I encourage you to stay for the meeting? I've kept the service shorter. A lot of the things that we might have said have been written down for us, although I realise I've very carefully not given myself a copy of the reports, so I hope there's one out there for me. And we'll hear about things where we've been, but we'll also be talking a little bit, just to keep you up to date with our conversations, on where we might be going. And that's still very much up in the air as we try to work out what the church is going to be as we go forward. So this is an opportunity to hear those things. And I think I can promise you that everybody who speaks wants home for their lunch. So we'll try not to make things too long. And since I'll probably speak later, I'll stop now and we'll sing our final hymn and conclude our worship by singing hymn number 517, Fight the Good Fight with All Your Might. The strength of Christ to honour and serve and be all that Christ calls you to be, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.